Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast, listener experience. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And that means it's Thursday Hollow Cult, which means you're almost through your work week. We're getting you there. Trucking through.
So doing our best.
Almost made it. But we're here. It's almost Friday. By the time you get through this, Thursday will be trucking. You know the drill. We got a lucid dream experience. Interestingly enough, I just randomly chose two because me and Kyle are going to record this week and next week, and they're both lucid dreams. So I'm curious to see if these tie in together or how this works. But before we get into it, got to get through the business. So check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. Be part of the community. Join the Hollow Cult. You know what to do. If you have a personal encounter you'd like to for us to feature on a future show, Kyle's got some info for you.
I do. It's really easy to get us your amazing experiences. And the best way to do that is to write your story out, send it to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. And then we will read it on its own episode. You can also call or text the holophone, which is going to be 618-556-0837. Also, I have an ask for everyone. Anyone who has paranormal pictures, please start sending them to our email as well. Try to give as much information as you can with them, time, date, location, whatever you can. You can leave it obscure if you must. You know, it doesn't have to be precise GPS coordinates, but I've got a little project I may or may not start working on, and having a bunch of cool pictures will help in that project.
I'm here for it. We like to look at weird stuff, for being honest. So let's get that. Let's get that off the ground. Got a picture of UFO?
Could be videos too.
Yeah, for sure. Got a picture of UFO? Send it. Got a picture of a Bigfoot? Send it. Got a picture of a demon? Send it.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
Which reminds me, you have that one picture, Steve, that I'll need as well.
Of a demon?
No, remember your uncle or whatever took that picture of the storm?
Oh yeah, with the UFOs in it?
Yeah, with the UFOs.
Yeah, I got that somewhere.
That'd be a good one.
Sure he has it. Speaking of sending stuff, before we get in here, I know people are going to be like, you need to put a timestamp, blah, blah. But our homie Adam from Pennsylvania came through swinging and sent us an authentic Schuylkill note.
Get the fuck out of here.
So how dope is that?
That's awesome.
We have a piece of conspiratorial and paranormal evidence.
Legacy.
Forever.
We're going to have to get a small little frame and frame it.
Yeah, for sure. And he sent us some monster money, so that's cool, too.
Dang.
Doubling down. Yeah, anybody else get some Schuylkill notes, wants to send them over, we're going to fucking make a Schuylkill collection.
Yeah.
A Schuylkill collection, if you will.
There you go.
But again, Adam, thanks for being dope. Thanks for going out and hunting it down. He left us a nice little note for me and Kyle here. He put the work in to get us the goods.
That's badass.
That is dope. But speaking of badass, on to our listener experience of this fine week. This one comes to us from, let me pull this up here, our friend Raymond. I titled it Life-Changing Lucid Dream. It goes, personal encounter. Hey, Stephen, Kyle. I just started listening to your podcast ever since I heard you guys on the confessionals. I've been running through episodes while at work, and I'm about halfway through, I would say. I'm working my way backwards toward the beginning of your podcast. You guys are dope, and the podcast is badass. Well, first off, thanks, Raymond. We try our best. Now to get why I'm actually writing you guys. I'm writing you guys to tell you about a lucid dream I had. To give a little background, I was fresh out of the military, didn't really have any directions, was feeling depressed, and was drinking a lot. I was doing a lot of guided meditations and was listening to a lot of Deepak Chopra at the time. Sorry if I mispronounced that. But to get myself out of a dark place. This all happened years ago when I was about 25 at the time. I'm now 34. So one night I wasn't feeling so great and decided to do a guided meditation. The one I picked that night was supposed to get you in contact with your spirit guides. I went through the guided meditation and didn't really feel anything or see anything. So I decided to go to bed. I laid down. As soon as I hit the bed, I was out. Next thing I know, I'm standing on a mountain ridge. It's so picturesque. It looked just like the pictures you see of a desert mountain range in Arizona, where the sand is reddish in color. It was so real. It felt like the wind blowing. I felt the warmth from the sun setting over the mountain ranges. I was even blinded by the glare of the sun as it was setting. I was in awe as I stood there. I then glanced to my left, and I noticed a structure made entirely out of glass. The structure was an octagonal shape. There was no windows or doors. It was just walls and a ceiling made of glass. I walk up to the structure and press on one of the glass walls. It pops out and slides to the side. I was alarmed by how I knew to do that since I've never been here before. I go inside and there's an open layout to the place. There isn't much of anything. I take a few steps forward and there are a few steps that leads to the center of what seems to be a living area and the lower rest of the structure that's filled with cushions and pillows for sitting. I go down and take a seat. I stare out on the range and the sun is still setting. The colors and light are in the sky and on the clouds and are gorgeous. There were shimmers of orange, reds, yellows, golds, blues, purples. It was breathtaking. I was in awe and all I could do was stare. As I stared out, the sun started to meet my eye line as it sunk deeper and deeper behind the mountain range. The glare became too blinding to keep looking, and I looked away and then put my hand in front of my face as if to block some of the light. At that moment, I noticed a being standing there. This being was giving off their own warmth and light, and I felt this overwhelming feeling of love. The light from the sun subsided, and I see what looks to be a woman standing in front of me. Her hair was long and flowing, but it was made of what I can only describe as the sun. Each strand was golden. It glowed and had a warmth to it. I could tell she was a woman because of her curves. It was odd. It was like she was naked, but also not at the same time. Kind of like in the X-Men movies, how Jennifer Lawrence is in a costume as Mystique. She's naked, but isn't. Sort of like that, except she wasn't blue. As I'm sitting there, I have no idea what to do. I try to say something, but she moves in close and puts her fingers on my lips, as if to say be quiet in a nice way. She leans in and gives me a kiss on my forehead, and then whispers something in my right ear. The next thing I know, I'm back in my bed, curled up in the fetal position, in a full-blown cry, like a baby. It legit took me about 10 to 15 minutes to calm down and stop crying. I remember everything I dreamed about that night, but the one thing I cannot remember for the life of me is what she whispered into my ear. No matter how many times I replay it in my head, I cannot remember. Since then, I've definitely felt different. I don't love the same anymore. It's hard to explain, but it feels like I have more of a capacity for love and different types of love. I don't feel it the same way, though. The best way I can describe it is the love I feel for and from my family and friends fits neatly into a self-storage unit, but I now have an entire warehouse worth of space. I feel loved and empty at the same time, and I notice I have to be careful with how much love I put out because most people can't handle it. Anyway, that's my dream. I thought I would share it with you guys. Love the podcast. Stay weird and keep up the good work. Raymond, first off, thank you for taking the time to share this. I know since if you heard this on the confessionals, this is probably an old one that we didn't get to and I brought back to light. I hope you're still with us, Raymond, still hanging out, still listening so you can hear this. But man, I knew when you said that the woman whispered into your ear, it was going to be something that you couldn't remember, man. I was hoping, but maybe it was something that the subconscious you needed to hear and not so much the conscious you, if that makes sense. Something to kind of change your path, change the route you're going, change the way you see the world. And apparently it has. Speaking on like how your outlook and your outpouring and intaking of love has changed. definitely interesting.
But has it changed for the best? Because I know he's in like a really awesome place. At least it sounds. It sounds like it changed his life for the better. But the way he describes it almost has a worrisome aspect to it. The fact that he can like button up the love for his family and put it in this nice, neat storage box and then put it away. And then he feels so much love, but he also feels so much emptiness at the same time.
Yeah.
And I wonder, and I don't think it was like a nefarious act by any means, but I think, and I don't know for sure, but it is semi-relatable because I am a person that also puts out a lot of love and feels a lot of emptiness at the same time. But I get it from the sense of you expect the same amount of energy back that you put out. And when that's not like a lot of us are okay with that for a while. Like dumping loads of love and energy outward. But there does come a time when you run yourself dry, so to speak, and you need some of that back. You need some of that energy to come back towards you. And the people around you, whether it's just not reciprocated, it could be that they've gotten so used to you dumping all of your energy, it kind of gets taken for granted or whatever. It doesn't come back for whatever reason. And I wonder if that is kind of how you're experiencing life currently.
That's kind of how I took it, which I was hoping you were going to go that route, because I feel like when you, hey, Holocult, the weather's getting nice. And you know what that means? It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. When you have that mindset of essentially the golden rule mindset, people should treat you the way that you treat them. You're just setting yourself up for disappointment. Because people do not handle business that way, right?
I agree.
You have like, it almost breaks down to two like sects of people, like hosts. And if you look at a negative light, like a host and a parasite, people feed off people who give off a lot of energy, and then people don't get the same energy back, like the way you said. So it does kind of feel like he has all this. He's giving out all this love and he has all this space to bring it back in, but it's not being reciprocated.
Yeah.
Just have this big empty room. Yeah. And I know we hear a lot about the woman, you know, the woman.
Yeah. Yes.
Bledsoe encounter, the woman, she's loving
life. I was going to swing back around on her too.
And it's weird because, like Raymond said, he was in a really, really bad place in his life. Drinking, depression, just out of the military, no direction. And all of a sudden, old girl pops in. It's like, hey, heard you got it bad. Maybe I can make a little better. Or can I? We don't know. It's also weird the parallels of almost like an abduction, a UFO encounter. Because the way he described the octagonal room, ship, so to speak, feels like a UFO to me. Yeah. Walks up to it, touches it, the door opens up, the entity's inside. It's weird. It is a pretty
good observation.
It's weird.
Because I hadn't thought of it like that. Because my brain's still in the channel of Black Cube, how that entity came to Arthur in a dream as well.
Yeah.
So, like, I also have a new outlook on dreams and stuff like that to begin with now at this point, because that is kind of, for me, a form of confirmation that this stuff does actually happen. But I do love your, like, the way you describe the woman and all the detail. I feel like I can see her, which is always greatly appreciated. I also had an encounter with a woman, you know, whispering in my ear at times. Another thing that I want to point out is that, like, the way she kisses him on the forehead, that is kind of like a clear cut, like a protective way of doing that. Like, I can help you. I'm here to protect you. It seemed very comforting. Like, I got you. Like, whatever you're going through, I got you. We're going to get you through this. Another thing too, and I don't know, I mean, the feminine, they are always known for being super compassionate. Like, for me, it's a lot easier for me to have certain conversations with women than men. Like, I prefer women doctors and stuff like that over men doctors. So I guess it's just the pure comfort, and
it's almost easier to be vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way of putting it. That's a great way of putting it. So there is something to that. I mean, with the whole depiction of her, I feel like overall, I feel like she was good, but there are aspects of it that do make you worry a little bit. And like you said, pointing out the fact that it does kind of feel abduction-y, that's a little bit scarier of a route when you start breaking that down for what it is.
I almost wish, I don't know. I wish he would have remembered what she said, but I almost feel like he wasn't supposed to. I feel like the message that was supposed to get through got through.
Yeah.
'Cause he said his whole outlook on his entire life changed. And who even knows? Maybe it's preparing him for life further down the road. Maybe these things will show up and show everybody that, because you hear often, like, the path to enlightenment, the path to move us to the next level of ascension or whatever is via love. Maybe they're just getting him prepared for when everybody else gets on the same wavelength. They're going to need that warehouse full of love, or full of space, because everybody's going to be showing the same thing.
Bro, I hope so. I hope that's the case for him. I would want nothing more than you'd be able to feel that, because it is a fucking shitty feeling putting all that love out all the time and not getting it back. You know what I mean? Like, it does leave you fucking broken on days. You know, it is very hit and miss when you're that type of person. But if you're not receiving that love back, it does put you in a wicked fucking spot sometimes.
Yeah, it's like,
you question everything so much. Like, why am I doing this? But at the same time, that's who you are. You can't change it. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, well, fuck it. I'm going to be an asshole from now on. I'm going to tell them how it is. And then you calm down and you're just like, I can't do that. Can't do it.
Yeah. It's like a peak. It's like peaks and valleys.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? When the love's coming in, you're like, all right, hell yeah, this is how life's supposed to be. And then when it wanes itself off, it's just.
Yeah. Right. That's a great way of putting it too. Like this is, cause I feel the same way when it's good. Like you're like, this is exactly how life is supposed to be. We're all supposed to be happy. We're all supposed to, like, the people that are meant to show each other affection, show each other affection.
It's almost like it teases great. You.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, oh, yeah. We're good. And then it's like, oh, pull it back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks too. You know, cause you just want to live in that moment of fill your warehouse full of love, so to speak, and just be.
Like it can show you how good it is.
Yeah.
Or how good it can be.
Yeah. And then the floor gets pulled out from underneath you and then you fall, you know, cause I'm a person that I'll hold up the world, but whenever my pillar starts to crack, then it just fucking all dumps on me. Everything cuts loose. You know, I don't know. It's fascinating. Like I didn't expect so much out of a lucid dream email.
No, it does hit, and it really makes you wonder about whatever these entities are that come to people via their consciousness, I guess. Like what is their intentions? You know, we could argue about whether they're extraterrestrial or interdimensional. I think that's inconsequential at this point, but what, like, clearly they have the ability to not only change people's mindsets, change the way they think, but they can change people's lives. Like Raymond said, like how powerful does it have to be to wake up like absolutely just beside yourself, so overwhelmed with emotion, seeing this one entity for however long he did in this dream? It's weird, but it happens a lot.
Yeah. I mean, and depending on how, it's interesting because depending on how you are as a person and how you think, his encounter could be torn apart, good or bad. You know, by her whispering in his ear, you could take that as a form of manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pure manipulation, you know? And so it's even more interesting when you look at it through that lens, because now it's almost like open for interpretation other than him, because he's the one living that life.
Yeah. Cause he did. I mean, he doesn't necessarily come out and say it's a positive change.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is a change.
Yes. And I hope, man, I pray for you. I hope it's a positive change. I hope that your life has turned around. You're fucking solid. I wish that from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah. I'm just going back and reading through that part again just to see.
Yeah, because we, you know, we have that rare ability where we can step back and kind of analyze your dream
from outside the box. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. We have, like, we're not emotionally connected to it. So we get to be like kind of biased and kind of pick and pull at strings. Whereas you in that situation, you're leading more with your feelings and everything, which is completely understandable. Like, I'm not trying to throw shade like at all with that, but because I would too, I would lead with how it made me feel in the end.
Yeah. Like he just uses certain lines that stand out as somebody that is like emotionally torn in how, and the output of emotion and the intake of emotion.
Yeah. Like that's like up until that point, like I was like, dude, this is awesome. You know? But then the way he described that at the end, I'm like, oh no, like that doesn't sound, I hope that I'm misinterpreting it, but it doesn't sound like it's that cool.
Yeah. Like where he says, I don't love the same anymore.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I feel loved and empty at the same time. I have to be careful how much love I put out. because most people can't handle it. Mm-hmm. It's almost, it is, it's almost like he essentially made a move up in wherever direction we're going, like in ascension.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. I'm with Kyle. I hope you're doing good, Raymond.
Yeah.
If you hear this, if you're still hanging out with us, hope you're hanging in there, man. Because I hope it's moved to the positive, and we appreciate you taking the time to write in. Again, I apologize. A lot of these emails got lost in the mix when things were going nuts. So if you're still kicking it and you hear this, let us know how you're doing. Let us know if you ever remembered what she said. Just let us know what's going on.
Yeah.
Because it's a powerful dream.
Yes, it is.
Especially if you don't know if the life changed for the positive or the latter, the negative.
Yep. All I can say to you is much love, and I hope that you're filling that warehouse full of love, brother.
Yeah, same. Ditto. But that is it for this week. Holocult. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for listening to Raymond's experience. Check us out Monday for our regular show. We're going to look into some Hobsonville goblins, and we get crazy.
It's a good one. You're not going to want to miss it.
It is. There's some banter in there.
It's some old school Owls, guys.
There's some banter. So you're going to want to check it. Every Tuesday is the Night Shift Recap. Wednesday, hang out with us at the Night Shift. Live on YouTube, 8 p.m. Central. And then Thursdays, you're right here. Right here with us and your experiences. So until we meet again, stay safe. Stay weird. And keep filling up everybody's warehouses with love, people. It's easy to be nice.